The John Age Project.
Trust no one. Trust no one. Trust no one.
You found it. You're here. You're headlong down the runaway train that is the Anomic Age. I'm your host, John Age. We got a great show for you today, as you might expect. Today we're going to be talking with Pamela Adams, getting into all things history and sort of connecting some dots between the past and the present. Before we get into that, check out AnomicAge.com. Share the links, friends, family, loved ones, and enemies. Like all the likes, subscribe to all the subscriptions. Hit the notifications button. And most importantly for me, if you love this content or like it, PayPal.me/AnomicAge, Patreon.com/AnomicAge as well. You can become a patron, make a one-time donation, be a sponsor, anything, everything, and more. All that's at AnomicAge.com. But enough of that. Stick around for just a mere matter of moments. We'll be joined by our guest on the other side. I'm pleased to welcome back into the Anomic Age today, Pamela Adams. Pamela, having worked in the public schools for a decade, understood how they were failing our children and wanted to make sure those same things didn't happen to her own child. She began to study history and write down what she learned, composing these letters to her daughter. They are addressed to liberty, the childlike freedom that belongs to all of us. Pamela's letters tie the past to current events, showing we consistently repeat history because we never fully understand it. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me, John. I'm so happy to be back.
Man, I'm happy to have you back. I can't believe it's been since 2019. Like we were saying, kind of before things started, that whole last year just seems like a wash. I can't believe I haven't had a show most of the time. But luckily, here we are.
Here we are. New era.
Well, I've sort of tenuously made these connections over and over again, but I thought you were the perfect person for the job to really tie these together and sort of link in the present to the past or the past to the present, because so much of what we're seeing today, I think a lot of people like ourselves know this, but I think the millennials and even the previous generation perhaps don't really have a frame of reference when you toss out Mao and Stalin and Pol Pot. I mean, yeah. I think the only frame of reference people have is Hitler, which is for good reason, but there's so much more.
Yes. And I did focus on Hitler because we still have somewhat of a connection to it.
Definitely.
These millennials hopefully still have grandparents alive that they can go and talk to about Hitler. And Stalin, not so much, but some of these, Hitler's the one that there is that connection to. Because sometimes when you, like you said, Mao and all that, they're just names in a history book. I still have an uncle alive that was over in World War II, and he went to the liberation camps. So I can go and talk to him, and he can tell me what the results of what Hitler did were, because he saw it with his own eyes. So I did kind of focus on the Hitler, but all these dictators do the same thing. So what I did is I went through and I put up bullet points that Hitler did or the Nazis did. And then I'm showing, I'll go through and then show how we're seeing it again today. So I figured that may be the best way to kind of do that, if that's okay with you.
Oh, that sounds perfect, because so many of these connections are just direct parallels. And I don't think people even know some of this basic stuff. So by all means, we need to not repeat this stuff, even though we're sort of
exactly
the way down into the ground right now. I hope we can pull this up.
And you also mentioned about COVID, so I'm trying to bring in the things that
COVID is the key.
They haven't necessarily had a pandemic that they've done before, but the tactics they're using with COVID as a cover are all the same. It's the same playbook. So we all know that the Nazis attacked the Jews. And it wasn't so much because they hated the Jews as a people. They needed somebody that they could rally the German people around to hate. And the Jews were, they were kind of considered outsiders. They weren't, even though they were had been in Germany forever, they still considered them outsiders because there was that difference with the religion and everything. Hitler also imprisoned his political opponents. We don't want to forget that. It wasn't just an attack on Jews. He killed 6 million Jews, but he also killed 5 million others, political opponents and everything else. So how does that go in today? Look at how Trump supporters are being demonized. And when I say Trump supporter, I don't necessarily mean one of those that's out there that's completely behind him. Even somebody who just voted for him because they liked Trump better than Biden. You went off the reservation. You are a political opponent. So if you look at how the media and the Democrats are attacking those people, it's the same way the Nazis attacked the Jews. It's trying to unify their people by attacking another group, by demonizing them. It's the exact same playbook. You also have that exact same attack going on with COVID people and people who don't want to wear masks and people who don't want to get vaccinated. It is the exact same playbook. The way that they're attacking them. What did Joe Biden say the other day? He said the unvaccinated people are the new pandemic.
Yeah.
I mean, hello.
That's hard to believe, but yeah, that was true.
Exactly. So it's just, again, the whole same narrative. The other note I put with that is, so how did the Nazis kind of use that control? How did they get it? Well, they had brown shirts. Brown shirts were a group of people. And in fact, if you go back and look in our recent history, we started putting these groups together with BLM and ANSPA during the Obama administration. And if you want to go into that deep dive, I mean, this didn't just start in 2020. Barack Obama started putting this together when he became president.
That's right. I mean, this is, in my opinion, sort of the third regime of Obama. He's done his two terms. Now he's back in for number three with Biden as the puppet. That's disrespectful to all puppets, but yeah, Biden is the puppet.
Hillary was supposed to take over in 2016, and Trump totally disrupted that. But if you look back, Barack put a lot of things in place that you can go back now and go, oh my goodness. I mean, the way BLM behaves, we saw the riots last summer. That is what the brown shirts did. They went and attacked the Jews. They used violence. They used anybody that was a political opponent of the Nazis, and they attacked them. And Hitler was able to stand back and distance himself to a degree from the brown shirts, but he definitely used them to get his power. How is that any different than what we saw last summer with Antifa and BLM in the streets?
Yeah, I mean, it was akin to Kristallnacht, the Night of Broken Glass. I mean, it seems like a direct playbook. And if you remember Barry Sitaro, his only real claim to fame was being a community organizer, which is some nice Orwellian doublespeak for a rabble rouser to stir up dissidents in the community. So, I mean, that was really his big shtick.
Exactly.
And then he somehow parlayed that into a trip to the White House to basically just continue to do the same thing.
Exactly. And it was started with all the way back to Trayvon Martin when he said, if I had a son, he'd look like Trayvon Martin. Well, if anybody does their true research, Trayvon Martin was not a great kid. I mean, he had troubles and he was attacking Zimmerman. Zimmerman did not attack him. He attacked Zimmerman and was ready to kill him. So when you marry yourself with people like that, what are you going to get? You're going to get the violence and the looting and everything. And you're right, the Kristallnacht. We saw that in how many cities? It was the same thing. So we also are looking at, with attacking the Jews and Trump supporters, we also have all the Trump supporters that are still sitting in jail from January 6th. And they're being abused from the reports that we're getting. Hitler did the same thing. Again, I'll repeat, it wasn't just Jews, because we tend to tie that to Hitler. It was an attack on Jews. That is not the whole story. It was the Jews, but he also went after any political opponent and any Jewish sympathizer. So, Nicholas Witten, who helped get kids out of Poland on the Kinder trains. I don't know if you know anything about the Kinder trains. They had trains that they would put these kids, Jewish kids, on and try to get them out of the places like Poland that the Nazis were coming into to save the kids. They knew they couldn't save the parent. I mean, can you imagine you're a parent and you're putting your kid on a plane or on a train to get them out of there knowing you're probably going to die, but you're never going to see your kid again, and you're sending them away to try. That just boggled my mind. However, Nicholas went and did this, but he kind of was okay with socialism. So you did have people who are like, I'm okay with the socialist part, but I don't agree with the killing the Jews. Now, if Nicholas would have gotten captured or known he was doing this, he could have very well been put in these camps, even though he was agreeing with socialism. So it was a very rough time, and we're seeing it. Anybody on the left who actually makes a sympathetic comment to a Trump supporter or somebody on the internet or social media, look at what happens to them.
Yeah.
They could be a full leftist, but they make one comment and they're canceled. That's Hitler. It's the same playbook. It's any of those dictators. So,
and that's a really big point that I don't think we often understand or realize. All the political dissidents, it wasn't just the Jews. I mean, like you said, that's a very good point to bring up, because it was anybody who spoke out against Hitler.
Exactly.
I mean, it's kind of joking, but not. I mean, it's insane, because we got people from the January 6th event still in prison. We got people being deplatformed, payments and bank access taken away. And perhaps, I don't know if this is worse or not, but I mean, it's a sort of communal shunning that you get. It's like akin to the Amish, except it's on a national level where, oh, you didn't put your black square to show your unity for BLM. Well, we're not going to talk to you anymore at work, or you might not come to Thanksgiving now because you didn't put your black square up. I mean, it's comical high school level nonsense, but this is supposed adults doing this on a national and international level. It's really sick.
Well, you nailed it. You nailed that, because once the campaign started going, you had the Nazis going door to door looking for the Jews. How's that any different than Biden sending out people door to door looking for unvaccinated people?
Yes.
They're telling their neighbors, hey, if you know that your neighbor is either one of those fanatics, one of those fringe people, you need to report them. Or if you know they're not vaccinated, or back in 2020, if you know your neighbor's not wearing a mask, you need to report them. The Nazis did the exact same things, and the people were so scared. They may not have agreed with it, but they did it because if they didn't, or they were known to be a sympathizer, they were taken too. They would see, the Germans would see the Nazis coming in and taking the Jews, and usually by force. If they didn't like close their window and go back in their house and ignore it, the Nazis went over and took them too. It's the exact same tactic we are seeing right now. And COVID is not separate from all this. It is all enveloped all together. So that was a very good point on that, John.
I mean, so, I was thinking this probably just like you. I believe it was last week when Biden came forth and said he was going to have a strike force. I mean, that was his own words, a strike force to go door to door. And of course, in communist North Carolina, we're one of the first states. I think Mecklenburg County has people going door to door right now to check on, knock on the, hey, if you need some vaccines, we're right here for you. And I mean, their playbook, they've already revealed what to say to the people. They've revealed that they're going to be looking in your door to see what you have, who's in there. I mean, this is just straight out of the playbook of, of Hitler. Right. Stalin them out. I mean, this is the Red Brigades. This is the secret police. This is the Stasi. This is the SS. It's all the same thing.
Oh, my gosh,
they just rebranded it.
Exactly. Well, it's the way that they called the early people progressives in America. It was just a different name. No, they were socialists. And then when progressive got too bad, they stole the term liberal, where back in the 1800s, liberal was you're very freedom-loving people. You're libertarian. That's where liberal comes from. You're libertarians, the smallest government you can get. So the progressives under FDR, he rebranded that. So it's the exact same thing. It's just they're just using – look how they changed the words for everything, John.
Yes.
The political correctness – right there, political correctness. Again, it was – instituted by the Soviets as a way of controlling. And they brought it here to America. In fact, let me jump down to that point. Have you ever heard of Operation Paperclip?
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
For those of your listeners who haven't, Operation Paperclip is after World War II. We were still competing with the Soviets with technology, especially outer space. So what we did is we brought a bunch of the scientists from Germany into America. The problem is a lot of them were Nazis and they never renounced their Nazism. So we brought them in and we put them in high positions. We put them in influential positions, including professors. Gee, I wonder where our universities got some. So they're still using their ideology, but now they're in America infecting it. But we brought them here. Mm-hmm. So it's like God said with the leaven, you a little bit of leaven will go all the way through. It's infected, and that's where we're getting all this, especially in our higher institutions, because we brought all this in. So
that's the truth. We have let the fox in the hen house. And it's so insidious. I mean, I've kind of just been laughing in the last, I'd say, month, because critical race theory is like the new buzz term. And I'm going, did you guys miss this from like 50 years ago? Of course it's critical theory. It's not just critical race theory. It's critical sex theory, critical gender theory, critical. Uh-huh. I'm a polka dot theory, whatever the bleep it is, it's they just throw it all under that guise of critical theory. So, I mean, yeah, they've been doing this for a while. I'm glad some people are finally talking about it on Fox News or something. I mean, nice.
Yeah, you actually went right into my next thing, which was the critical race theory. It's being used in South America right now, but Stalin, in a sense, used it when he took over the farms in Ukraine. He took over the small independent farms. Most of those people were independent. They didn't need the government. They had their own farm. So he took them over and made them state run. Well, nobody in the state knew how to run the farms, and 13% of the Ukrainians died. They starved to death. Mm-hmm. But it's again, the critical race theory of making people equal and no one could be above someone else, or with the racing. That's what's happening in South Africa. They're just going in and taking farms and land from the white South Africans and just giving it to the blacks. And because of racism and blah, 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 the problem is nobody knows how to run them. And they're actually going back to the previous owner saying, can you come help us run this? And they're like, no, you're on your own now. But this whole critical race theory, thinking this is a new idea, an inventive idea, no, this is just communism on steroids. So, and again, with the population, I did want to bring up this point. I don't know. Have you been hearing what Bill Gates has been doing across the world, buying up farmland? Have you been hearing
that? We should definitely get into that, but I think it all plays into the bigger kind of eugenics picture, where I did a few episodes on this and I kind of pulled myself back because I think I was sounding a little crazy, but they want you dead.
Yes.
They want you flipping dead. They don't want you alive anymore. That's the key to this.
Bill Gates has basically come out and said this. John, you nailed it. It is about control, and what you need to do to get the most control is you need to decrease the population. Was it Stalin who said he who controls the food controls the population?
I think Henry Kissinger said that too.
Maybe it was Kissinger. But so you've got Bill Gates. He's buying up thousands and probably millions at this point of farmland. And he's also talking about we should be going to this synthetic meat.
Yes.
Soylent Green.
Soylent Green is people. I mean,
he's a computer guy. What in the world is he doing getting into all this farming? Yes. But let's go down that rabbit hole, John, about what Bill Gates is doing with the population control, because that leads right into all the vaccines. Let's hit into COVID, and I will bring it back here to what we need to be concerned about with Bill Gates and all that. Because if we do a short history, well, going back to Hitler, he used fear. He used fear to get done. And part of going after the Jews was the Jews were dangerous. They were dirty. They would give you disease. Well, what was COVID? Mm-hmm. It'll kill you. So fear. If we look at a quick history, I wrote down March 2020, Fauci came out and publicly said, we don't need masks. Or the kind you buy in the store, the little cotton ones, they don't work.
Yeah.
And then they turned around in April, and CDC is coming out and saying, we need masks, simple masks for everybody, even though Fauci had said, we don't need them. And if your readers or listeners want to get more information on what Fauci was really doing, look up Jim Jordan going through his emails that have been released. And he does a beautiful timeline of going through Fauci's emails about how Fauci knew it was from Wuhan. He tried mm-hmm. to cover it up. He knew they didn't need masks. He covered it up. We've got hydroxychloroquine. Trump came out and said hydroxychloroquine is effective. What did the government do? They immediately shut it down. They did the Lancet report. Have you heard about the Lancet report?
Mm-hmm.
I haven't done a whole lot of study, but I know about it, that it was basically a fraudulent report to say that hydroxychloroquine was not good. They ended up redacting it in June, but by that time, France, who always had hydroxychloroquine on their shelves, had removed it. Was it South Africa, South America? I believe it helps malaria.
Yeah, it's a quinine derivative. So, I mean, all these more malaria-ridden countries just had this, like we might have aspirin.
Yeah. Well, they started taking it off the shelves, saying it was dangerous and it caused all this stuff. No, they... Censorship. We can touch on censorship here a little later. They were taking down everybody who said hydroxychloroquine would work. Again, another tactic. So we had those things going. And then we had raise the fear. So we had five governors send the vulnerable, the sick elderly back into nursing homes, where those people were vulnerable. Anyone with a compromised immune system or a pre-existing condition, yes, COVID was a risk for them. Mm-hmm. So you go in there, that's where New York's, a good portion of their fatalities came from. What does that do? It raises fear. Look at the death toll. I mean, you saw on CNN, the daily death toll. It's raising the fear. That's what they do. They raise the fear. But I found this when I was researching the PCR tests.
Mm-hmm.
There's always been a question about the PCR tests, the reliability. I'm sure you've probably done some about that as well, how they raised it up to 40 cycles instead of the normal 17, yeah, where it would pick up anything. Well, I found this on an article I was researching. It was from the CDC. What do your results mean? A positive test result shows you might have antibodies from an infection with the virus that causes COVID-19. However, there is a chance a positive result means that you have antibodies from an infection with a virus from the same family of viruses called coronaviruses, such as the one that causes the common cold. We shut down the world for people who had the cold, the common cold. It was all a smoke and mirrors. It was all fear. It's all about control. We know now what's the best thing, exercise and sun. What did they tell us to do? Stay inside, sit on your couch, and binge watch Netflix.
And oxygen, clean oxygen. Yeah. Not wearing slave shackle around your face.
Yes, and it just drives me crazy. I still see people riding around in a car by themselves with a mask on. And I feel for them now because they have been so petrified. I feel sorry for them. And whenever we do see people around with masks, I look at my husband and I go, yeah, I bet they're vaccinated.
Of course.
I don't think unvaccinated people are wearing the masks. There's probably a small percentage, but it's
so insidious. I mean, I see the same thing. And I've said this a few times. It's the greatest PSYOP since 9/11. It is the greatest PSYOP of all time because they're doing sort of the same thing. But instead of showing the buildings fall thousands of times a day, 24 hours a day, they began by showing all these people falling down in the streets and what we've now been revealed as crisis actors or who the heck knows, because a lot of this was coming out of China.
Yes.
I couldn't imagine why they'd lie. So it was, you know, like footage after footage of just dead bodies and everywhere. It's just bedlam, I tell you. It's bedlam. I mean, they set the stage for the American people to have fear. And then they up the ante by giving everybody a test that doesn't prove anything other than that you maybe had the cold or been exposed to the cold or a virus in the last year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
Yeah, it can pick up dead cells. So things you don't even – you had the cold, but you don't have it anymore. It's picking up the dead cells. So that'll take flows us into the Democrats that just went to Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
And here we're being told you have to wear a mask on a plane. And they all took a picture on the plane without masks. Now, I think it's up to 6, I believe, now have tested positive for coronavirus, or COVID-19, even though they all were vaccinated. Mm-hmm. So that's telling us right now, either 1, the vaccines don't work, or 2, the tests don't work. So which is it?
And they won't let you have the medicine either way. I mean, I know for a fact here in North Carolina, a family doctor basically was like, yeah, well, I can't prescribe hydroxychloroquine anymore. I'll prescribe this other stuff that's not called that. Because it was the same thing.
Oh,
it was fear of losing
the license.
It's the
exact same thing, but oh my God.
So I was like, man, how screwed are we? I mean, this is insidious.
That's insane. I do remember you had commented about the things coming out in China. I do remember, I think it was January. They were showing videos of people just like sitting at their desk and falling over or walking down the street and just falling over. And what I find so interesting about that is Trump went ahead and took action. And he, if you remember, he did the travel ban in January and he was called a xenophobe and racist and all this stuff. And you had Nancy Pelosi out in Chinatown hugging and kissing and going around with all these people, just completely engulfed with people saying, oh, it's okay. And then a month or two later, we're all going to die. It just seems very orchestrated to me. We're going to attack Trump in the beginning for doing something. And then we're going to attack Trump 2 months later for supposedly not doing anything. How people don't just sit back for a second and let that sink in and think logically. And it's frustrating because I have a family member who won't do that, and it gets very frustrating for me sometimes. Because it's like you're not looking at the big picture. You're basically just drinking in what is being told to you, which is the propaganda. Again, everything that's going on with the media. Our mainstream media is basically umbrellaed under six major companies. Your CBS, your NBC, your ABC, your Wall Street Journal, New York Times, everything. There's an umbrella. There's six at the top, and then everything's underneath. They're all getting their information from the same people. Hitler did the same thing. He banned books. He burned books. He censored people that were against him. Look at what's going on in social media. I mean, we've been predicting this for how long? I'm sure you have too, John. How long have we been predicting this? Books are being taken off of Amazon because they're not the right person. We're canceling them. This is what's so interesting is the people who are calling Trump and his supporters Hitler and Nazis are the ones who are supporting all this censorship. They're supporting all this door-to-door. They're supporting everything the Nazis did. It's just, I turn to my daughter, she's nine, and I turn to her all the time going, you are living through an incredible time right now. Yes. And I tell her this stuff. We'll hear a censorship, and I go, honey, tyrants do this. I'm letting her know, and I keep telling her, I'm like, you're going to save the future of this country, so you need to learn this stuff now. It's just mind-boggling to me after having done all this study, because you're right. We don't study. We know Hitler. We know World War II. And for a lot of people, that's it. They are not teaching it in schools.
Not at all.
It is not there. So they don't see any of this stuff. They don't know what Hitler really did. They just know that we're supposed to call people who oppose us Nazis.
That's it.
That's it. That is it. They honestly don't understand what that word means. And we just need to be better about teaching that. And I will say I am encouraged with seeing parents finally stepping up, especially with this critical race theory, and going to these school board meetings and saying no. In fact, the pandemic may have actually been somewhat of a blessing in disguise, because with the homeschool people, kids at home doing their schooling, parents got to see what was really going on. In fact, you even had teachers telling each other, don't say this because the parents might hear. Well, if you're saying something that you don't want the parents to hear, then maybe you shouldn't be saying it at all.
That's a huge red flag.
And I think a lot of parents are waking up to that, and they're realizing, no, we need to take control of our kids' education again. Socialism, Nazism, is complete government control. And what are you allowing to happen? You're allowing the government to control everything, the healthcare, the schools, infrastructure, everything. No, it's supposed to be a local level. Our founding fathers were just so incredibly brilliant. And I know you had talked about doing something for 4th of July. That is still something that probably should be looked at. But the more you look at it and really delve into it, that our founding documents, the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution, were amazingly brilliant documents. And we need to be learning that, because how do you fight for a right that you have if you don't know you have it?
Yeah, I totally agree about all the censorship. And I think they're really just coming out and telling us what they're going to do now. Because you had Jen Psaki last week and Vivek Murthy, both of them coming out and admitting we're going to censor even more. Anything that could be construed as disinformation or misinformation, which is just government speak for anything we don't like, we're going to take out. And if that's not Hitlerian, I don't know what is.
Exactly.
I mean, that's exactly what you talked about from the beginning, where Hitler targeted any media that were dissidents, anybody that was dissidents. It wasn't just that. I mean, ironically, I was talking to my daughter the other night as well, And it came up, she was talking about voting rights, and she was very excited or very vehement. She couldn't understand how women didn't have the right to vote. And I was like, I don't either. That doesn't make any sense to me. But I went on to say, what's really horrible is, you know, all the insanity under tyranny that we don't even understand because that's not our culture. And I kind of got into Cuba a little bit, and I was like, they didn't have the right to vote at all there. It wasn't just women. It was nobody. You couldn't vote just like you couldn't vote Stalin, Hitler, or Mao out. There was no voting. You just enjoyed the slavery. That's it.
Exactly. You nailed it. And bringing up Cuba, Cuba is a blaring example right now. They're shut down the internet because they don't want anybody to see what's happening there. And you're right. Jen Psaki, one of those quotes I had in my list too, and she's talking about misinformation. They're trying to skirt around the Constitution by saying, no, it's social media. It's the new, they're doing it. It's their platform, except what you're hiding is you are telling them what to do. They're acting like they're not. Oh, we're just giving them some advice or mentioning, but it's their decision. No, you're doing it. They know that if you tell them this, then they need to censor that person. They need to block that person. They need to cancel that person. So they're trying to skirt around the Constitution and be dictators. They're dictators. They're tyrants. And it's frustrating that
it's going to get worse. I mean, that's the sad thing. I can guarantee the listeners this will not be on YouTube because I've got two strikes and I've got one to go. And I know anytime I even say the big COVID word, they take it down. So
seriously.
And I'm like joking when I tell people about this. I'm like, yeah, there's no cursing in my show. I don't say anything profane. There's no nudity. There's just scientific debate and talk. And no. You can't say the big C word, or at least you can't say it in a negative light. So
what are they so afraid of?
Mm-hmm.
What are they so afraid of?
I'd say just challenging the narrative. They don't want the state to be challenged.
But don't we all know that truth wins out? Truth will always stand. So if you have to shut somebody down, I don't see anybody on the right saying we need to shut somebody down.
Yeah.
So no, come talk to me. I'll actually debate you on that. We're willing to debate. We're willing to say, okay, let's take our facts and we'll look at yours and we'll compare the two. We don't want to shut anybody down. But the other side, the only way they can keep their fear going, keep their narrative going, keep their agenda going, is to silence everything that goes against it. It's an interesting time. It's a little frustrating knowing the history because you're going, we're living through it. Why can't people see it? But it's like you stated at the beginning, people don't know it. People don't know the history, so they can't see it, which is why they want to ban so many books. They want to ban the stuff that actually addresses that. They don't want to talk about Hitler because then people might actually see what they're doing is very, well, identical.
Yes.
So,
but the sad thing is, and I don't think they figured this out. I don't know why, but the more they censor the stuff, the more people want the information. I was talking to a guest last week. He was not on the show. We were just talking, you know, preparing for an upcoming show, and he was stating he went to Russia in the 70s. And I don't even know how he got the book with him on the plane, but he had a copy of Alexander Solzhenitsyn's book with him. And he was going towards, I believe, one of the German perimeters, and he was like, oh, man, I better get rid of this book. But everybody that he met there and while he was going through, you know, his sort of tour, ask him about the book. They all wanted to know, like, they heard about the Gulag Archipelago, everybody. And they're like, do you have this book? Have you heard about this book? And he was like, no, I don't know anything about the book. Because he didn't want to end up in a gulag.
Well, but, yeah.
I mean, that's how it is. If people don't have access to something, they're always going to wonder, what the heck is that forbidden fruit? What's that knowledge you got over there? I don't know.
Look at children. You tell them don't touch that.
Yes.
What do they want to do? They may have never even thought about it until you said, don't touch that. And then that's the only thing they can think of. So actually, they're doing themselves a disservice by making such a big deal about this, because people are going to say, why are you trying to censor that? Why can't I hear that? And I think it is waking more and more people up. But if we may segue,
sure, let's do it.
All this brings up why the Second Amendment is so important, which is another thing that Hitler did. And it's what all tyrants do. I mean, I can give you I took a little excerpt out of one of my letters that I had done on gun control. And let's see, Mao eliminated 20 million people from 1949 to 52 by implementing gun control. Adolf Hitler implemented gun control. We talked about that already as far as how many he killed. The Uganda, Idi Amin, let's see, where's... Oh, 300,000 people he killed after instituting gun control. He said, in any country, there must be people who have to die. They are the sacrifices any nation has to make to achieve law and order, which, again, is kind of what you were talking about. You need population control. You've got to get rid of those that disagree. You've got to get rid of those that want their independence. You want to get rid of those that are against what you're trying to do. And then you can control them, because then you have law and order, because everybody else will just fall down to what you want. Turkey, gun control. So from 1915 to 17, 1.5 million. In 1929, the Soviet Union put gun control in. 20 million people from 29 to 53. Cambodia, 1 million people in the 70s. And Guatemala, from mid-60s to 1981, 100,000. That's just, you know, an overview. So why does the left keep pushing gun control? I can't imagine what we would look like right now if Barack had gotten the gun control he wanted. Mm-hmm. And that's why they're pushing, in my opinion, that's why I believe they're pushing all this stuff with January 6th, because they want to... They're calling it an insurrection, though nobody had guns. I don't know how you pull off an insurrection without weapons, but it wasn't one anyway, especially when you have the police inviting them in. We know that now. Police were inviting them in. But they're doing everything they can to hype up this stuff so they can implement their gun control. Now, my fear is that they're getting so desperate that we're going to see a couple false flags here in the next couple months that they're going to try to use to push their gun control agenda. Because it always seems whenever something happens, for example, Vegas, as soon as that happens, before the bodies are cold, you've got people in Congress saying, we need to push this bill through for gun control. So that definitely does concern me, because that's what they do. That is what they do. Everything is calculated. Everything is, it's not by accident. It's not by coincidence. It's all orchestrated. And it's no different now than it was in Nazi Germany or Stalin's Soviet Union. So...
And what you were saying there just connects more dots to the Reichstag fire from Hitler, which was clearly a false flag. They got the people that were prisoners to pull this off, and then they pulled them out. I mean, in my own mind's eye, I'm envisioning, you know, Bugs Bunny getting pulled out of the hole. And like, there he is. Look, it's the perpetrators. It's 9/11 all over again. It's like 24 hours. Look, it's these passports. Everything else is burned, but we found these passports miraculously. I can't believe it. It's unbelievable. They're right here. like the grassy knoll all over again. Like,
I was just thinking that, John. I was going to go, am I going to look crazy if I bring that up?
No, I mean, it's of course. It's the lone gunman. Look, there just happened to be this Zapruder guy with his camera. And look.
Yeah. And John Hinckley. Oh, I keep forgetting. I keep going John Wilkes Booth. It's not John Wilkes Booth. What's his name again?
I don't know. Oswald or?
Oswald. Thank you. Because I keep going. I've done several on Lincoln. And I keep thinking John Wilkes Booth. I'm like, it's not John Wilkes Booth. It's Oswald. Anyway, he said he was a patsy. He said there was more to it. And yeah. I've done some study of it. And it's just, yes, I think he was there. But I do believe they used him. They made him a fall guy. And there was something more to that.
Yeah. And then they had the mop-up team. They had Jack Ruby out of nowhere. Hey, here's a guy in a police courtyard with a gun, shoots him, and then Ruby's dead, I think, 8 months later of cancer. Oh, man.
Yeah. Oh,
all
yeah.
Our problems are solved. Now all we have to do is keep this film quiet until, what, 70 or whatever? Geraldo came out with it 10 years later after they made all the appropriate cuts and edits.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, I think Trump was supposed to release all that, wasn't he?
I was thinking, yeah.
I thought it was even like 2018. So why we haven't seen some more of that, I don't know. But it's the more I'm seeing what's going on now, yes, the more I'm questioning how long has this been going on? It's bringing into question a lot of things that have happened in this country that just seem... We kind of accepted it at face value, and now, well, we're hearing FBI was involved in trying to infiltrate the groups on January 6th and entice them to actually go and commit violence. We know that happened with Antifa and BLM in the summer. We know we had... As you know, my husband's a police officer. He was involved in that. He's actually in the intelligence department. So he knows the Antifa people, where we are right now, they came in. They were not local.
Mm-hmm.
They came in. They kind of start the stuff. They break the windows, but they've got the locals that have, they've got them so riled up. Then they will go in and loot the place. And then the Antifa people will head out. Well, I'm sure you've heard the reports, too, that we're getting that FBI was doing the same thing. I think they thought they were going to be able to do the same with the Trump supporters. We'll infiltrate the little groups. We'll get them all excited. We'll let them into the Capitol. And then they'll go crazy. What they don't realize is conservatives don't do that.
Yeah.
We don't do that. If you look at the American Revolution and the French Revolution, the thing that actually split John Adams and Thomas Jefferson is John Adams could not support the French Revolution, but Thomas Jefferson did because, as you know, he's big on liberty.
Mm-hmm.
But why Washington and Adams could not support it was because when we had ours – We fought the military. That is what you do when you're fighting a war. We did not go and behead anybody. We did not go and tear down any of the government stuff. We fought the war like you fight a war. What was going on in the French Revolution is the people rising up, and they were going after everybody and just executing them. Washington and Adams couldn't support that because that was more anarchy. So you look at that and Antifa and BLM are the French Revolution. They're anarchy.
Mm-hmm.
Conservatives are the American Revolution. You do it the right way. We fought for 10 years. We were pushing for 10 years to get some sort of redress from the king, trying to do it peacefully, sending letters, sending Benjamin Franklin over, sending other diplomats, trying to work through, we see this problem, can you help us? And it was only when they came to take our guns. That's what Lexington and Concord was about. And they actually did take the gunpowder. I'm sure you know the quote from Patrick Henry, give me liberty, you give me death.
Mm-hmm.
That came at the time that the British came in. I believe it was 2 days after Lexington and Concord, they came into Williamsburg, and they took all, because at that time you had an armory, you had the town armory where all the ammunition was stored. They came in and they took all their gunpowder. So the American Revolution, to a sense, was started because they tried to institute gun control. Why? Because if you take people's guns away, then you can control them.
That's the key. I mean, I'll underscore that again. I think the guns are perhaps our only bellwether. They're the only reason we are not Venezuela right now, people. And as horrible as things are, yeah. I mean, they're the only reason that China hasn't invaded and the UN's not on our soil going house to house right now. That's it.
Well, it was said that I think it was a Japanese general. I cannot remember the name.
Mm-hmm.
But he said back in the World War II era, we are not going into America because we'd go into the fields and there would be a gun pointing at us from every direction. They knew Americans had guns and they would use them to defend the country. And that's what kept them from invading our mainland. So
I just hope we can keep them, because I think all this is culminating in the same sort of stuff we've seen before. And for me, it's troubling because you see the same people. When you were talking about the FBI's involvement, I was like, yeah, they've been pulling this off for a long time. But just the stuff we know about, I think it's Project Chaos and the counterintelligence, COINTELPRO. That's been going on since the 60s and on, where they infiltrate these groups. They get everybody riled up. I mean, and you look at the events of Ruby Ridge, Oklahoma City, Waco. Everything from the 90s, even Columbine, there's FBI connections there. So it's kind of like, I don't know who could be doing this. Well, there's that one agency that just keeps cropping up. And now we've got Chipman as head of the ATF, who is an ardent anti-gun guy. He was at Waco. And he's now the guy that's head of alcohol, tobacco, firearms, and explosives. And if he's not the fox in the hen house, he's sure looking like it.
He should be grinning because, have you noticed, and you basically kind of touched on this, have you noticed when those things do happen, like Columbine and the one that happened down in Florida?
The nightclub shooting.
Yeah. They were on the FBI list. Yeah. They were being watched by the FBI. They were being watched. Why didn't they stop them?
Yes.
Isn't that interesting how many of these people were on FBI lists and they still get away with doing this? So it makes you wonder, were they patsies? Were they unstable people that the FBI was able to manipulate to do a false flag? I mean, we're now questioning everything. And I'm a huge patriot. I love this country. But I think some of our institutions, at least at the higher level, have gone completely off the rails, and they need to be railed in.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them, I think, need to be completely dismantled, the institutions.
Absolutely. I don't think there's very much communication going on between departments. I mean, I think that's kind of the biggest elephant in the room. Like, the average FBI guy is probably all right, but it becomes like this barrage of just following orders, which was the defense at Nuremberg. I was just following orders. And I'm like, well, when are you not going to just follow orders? Like, that's always my question. When's that going to not happen? Because you shouldn't be kicking indoors and taking Roger Stone out at 3 a.m. He's like 70 in his underwear. That's sort of nuts.
There was no reason for them. And then to have CNN just happen to be there.
Yeah, that's another coincidence.
Come on. How stupid do you think we are? Seriously, it's just, and then you have January 6th, where they claim Trump incited an insurrection. and they immediately impeach him. Now Nancy Pelosi wants some sort of investigation. Well, shouldn't you have done that before you impeached him? But anyway,
yeah.
Then you have Maxine Waters go out to Minneapolis to deal with the George Floyd hearing, and she's telling them, if you don't get the result you want, you need to take to the streets. Did anything happen to her?
No.
No, not a darn thing. And she was going around, oh, I can't remember the date right now. It was before COVID, but I remember her, and I'm sure you remember the clip too, that she was surrounded by people going, you need to get in their face. You need to tell them they're not wanted.
Interrupt them at restaurants and
chase
them out of stores. That sounds
and
like people terrorism.
Did it. People did it. They showed up at Tucker Carlson's house. They harassed Ted Cruz at a restaurant. There are multiple other people that they just felt were given permission to do this. Yet, okay, here's another example, the French and the American. So that's the French Revolution. That's what Antifa and BML are doing. What did the conservatives do? Well, in May of last year, when they're like, you need to start opening up, they went to the state house. They had their flags, and they went to the state house, and they went in, and they said, we want you to open up. There was no violence. There were no threats. There were no weapons. They went, and they peacefully took their grievances to their legislators and said, it is time to open up. We need to get back to work. Mm-hmm. What did the media and the Democrats call them? They said terrorists. They were terrified at these people. Oh, my gosh, I feared for my life. They're domestic terrorists. They're every name in the book. Well, that's what Hitler did. They called them enemies of the state. The language is the same. The sentiment is the same. They're the ones who are actually doing the violence, Antifa, BML, brown shirts, they're left to do what they want to do. And I just wish people would sit down and think about that logically and realize we're at a precipice right now and we're teetering. And it's up to the people which side we fall on. And like I said earlier, it's encouraging to see parents standing up to the critical race theory and so many people standing up and starting to go for Senate seats and House seats. And speaking of Senate seats, I think we need to get rid of the 17th Amendment. It needs to go.
Yes.
It needs to go. For the listeners who aren't aware, 17th Amendment, when we pick senators, you used to vote for your state Senate and representatives for your state, then those state representatives would go to your state house, and they would choose from among them who would be sent to the federal Senate to represent the state. So it was more, there was more control with the people. 17th Amendment then allowed the people to directly elect the senators. And then it became who can spend more money and who can promise more things for the people. And it wasn't about who was best for the state, because the Senate is supposed to represent the state. The representatives represent the people. It's not that way anymore. You basically have two houses of representatives. You don't have anyone there fighting for the state anymore because of the way that we've done that. So that's my two cents on the 17th Amendment. But it, like I said, it is encouraging. There are people waking up, and the people just even listening to your podcast, they're more awake than anybody else, I'm sure, and very passionate about this country, and they want to do something, and that is encouraging. As much as they try to keep taking us down, you're not going to stop fighting. I'm not going to stop fighting. And there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of us out there, thousands of us, taking these platforms to try to get the information out. And all we ask is that the people gather that information and educate themselves, and then in turn educate those around them. Education, proper education, is such a powerful tool. And the truth is such a powerful tool. So
I think that's the key. I was going to ask you that, but we may have just answered it. I was going to ask you, what do you think the key to all this is? And for me, I've kind of jokingly said this for years now, the key is getting out of the cult of academia. I always kind of throw a little humor at it. If there's a part in the original Amityville Horror where the priest comes in and this demonic voice just says, get out. I would echo those sentiments as far as education goes. If you can possibly work it out, get your children out of the cult. Mm-hmm. Get them in a homeschool, get them in a private Christian school, whatever it is.
You've
got to get them out. I mean, I've talked to way more educated people than me in the past few weeks, and they've all been like, yeah, I wouldn't even send my kids to the university anymore. That's just nuts. I was talking to a doctor, I think just last Thursday, and he was like, yeah, if I had sons right now, they wouldn't, no way. I wouldn't pay for that mess.
He's like, yeah.
That's nuts. Why would I pay for them to be indoctrinated with communist rhetoric? That's insane. But
and I have told my daughter many times, I said, she has mentioned something about going to college, and I said, we don't know if you're going. It depends on what field she wants to go through. Sometimes you do have to, but I said, we don't know if you're going. You may not need to. But when we found out she was coming, our first thought was, what are we going to do about schooling? Because she's not going to public school.
Yes.
And we are blessed that our church has an elementary through eighth grade. So she's doing that, and she still has a couple more years left. And then it's going to, she is not going to our local high school. We are examining, do I homeschool? Do we do one of the online? Rand Paul has a wonderful program that my husband's looked into. We may do that. And there's others popping up. But she is not setting foot into a public school. It's not happening. It's just not happening. And like I mentioned earlier, I think more parents are seeing that after going through this COVID, where they had to watch what they're teachers were teaching the kids, and you now have school boards saying, we don't care what the parents say. And the parents are going, wait a minute, you work for us. It is an amazing time, John. It's a very crazy time. It's a chaotic time, but it's also a time where I am seeing hope, because I am seeing people realize we can't just sit on the couch anymore and consume what's on the TV and assume that it's 100% correct. We have to do some that's what my letters are about. Me doing my own research. And we're starting to see more and more of that happen. And that's what we just mentioned. That's what people need to do.
The best place for people to follow your work and to buy your books and just check out what you're up to.
You can get everything on thefactspaper.com. It's thefactspaper.com. I do need to be doing a big dump here of articles that have been going on for the past several months. I need to put those. So you can go there, and if you want to see stuff that maybe the mainstream media isn't putting out, you can go there and get links to that. In the bookstore, you can get my books. All my letters are on there, too, so you can look at that. And my hope is to start doing some sort of video thing. And once I get that going, that will also be posted on the facts paper. So
that sounds wonderful. Well, if you stick around for a second, I'll talk to you at the end here.
Okay.
All right. Perfect.
Thank you.
You bet. Always. Well, folks, if you missed any of that, if you're not, you can go to anomicage.com. You can see all the video, all the audio. You can take it with you. You can listen to it in the car, at the gym, wherever you might be. And as I always say, you can't do everything, but you can do something. So please try to get out there and do your part. Until next time, be safe, and I'll be seeing you sooner than later in the Anomic Age.
Thank you for listening to The Anomic Age, a John Age project. For past shows, further info, and to comment, go to anomicage.com. That's anomicage.com. Till next time, thank you for listening to The Anomic Age. We'll be right back.
Thank you.